Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
On October 19th, the Norris Group proudly presented I Survived Real Estate 2012. An incredible lineup of industry experts joined Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and the outlook for real estate in the coming year. Over $77,000 was raised to benefit Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event would not be possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners. Foreclosure Radar, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, the Investors Workshops, Invest Club for Women, San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, Fry Wilds, MVT Productions, and White House Catering. Learn more about the panel and how to attend at isurvivedrealestate.com.
Good evening, everybody. I am Aaron Norris. I'm going to be your MC for just a little bit this evening. I'm going to ask you to stand one more time, as it has become a tradition. If you're in the audience tonight honoring someone who has dealt with cancer or is currently dealing with cancer, can you please stand? Thank you very much. In 2004, while working the night shift in New York City, I received a phone call. Mom informed me that the cancer had spread to bone. In that moment, the reason I was in New York City didn't even matter anymore, and about 5 months later, I was back in California. For 6 years, I had the greatest honor of being there by her side for someone. She's just a very amazing person, and very many of you in the audience got to meet her, and it was an honor to be by her side. At times, it still does not seem very real, and the word helpless does this horrible job at describing how it feels to watch somebody that you love struggle with something so cruel and unforgiving. I know there are several of us in the audience that are currently dealing with this reality right now. I look forward to this night every year. I get to see many of my favorite people all in one room. You're all dressed up and looking very different, might I add. I get to be a fly on the wall for some brilliant conversation. And tonight, for just once, I don't feel so helpless. Tonight, we're all making a difference, and tonight, together, we've raised over $76,000 for charity. This year, we had an opportunity to help two important charities. The focus still on cancer, children being the spotlight. I'd like to call up Sarah Pizzaruso with Make-A-Wish to share with us a little bit about their mission and what we've helped them accomplish tonight.
Hey, Mama.
Well, the ball is bigger than all many fumbles. He fumbles.
Our son was a Make-A-Wish recipient. His wish was to meet a football team, and they presented him with being able to come here to the Coliseum to meet with the USC Trojans, and he has had a wonderful day, way above what we expected would happen.
That is California with one timeout remaining. First and goal to go. And the clock starts.
That's what I'm talking about.
What do you tell them?
Jeff Fucci, who's our player operations guy, he told us that there was going to be a young kid who had been dealing with a couple health issues, and that he'd be coming out here for Make-A-Wish. And as soon as I heard that, I instantly told him, give me his number. I want to be involved. I want to do whatever I can to make this day as special as possible.
Where's McLean?
Just to see the joy and excitement for him to, you know, running down the field and me missing tackles and him dodging me and just having a good time. It's really just so fulfilling. It's so much fun for me. I feel like as human beings, this is what life is all about. And it's so fulfilling to have an opportunity to make a kid's day.
Anyway, you're the boy.
USC do something for somebody who's not necessarily a Trojan fan, but now will be for life. Just absolutely fantastic. That's what being a Trojan is all about, is for USC to be able to give back to the community.
Players. And today, thanks to our friends with the USC Trojans, we were able to make that wish come true.
I believe that my son's wish was fulfilled greatly. This is a day that he'll cherish forever.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you, Aaron. And to all of the Trojans in the room, fight on. As you already know, at Make-A-Wish, we grant wishes for kids with life-threatening medical conditions. Our mission is to enrich the human experience with hope, strength, and joy. Now, it seems pretty obvious that granting a child's wish would give our wish kids hope, strength, and joy. But the surprising part is how that mission extends well beyond just our wish kids. A few months ago, we met 5-year-old McLean, who is battling a rare blood disease. Despite a recent bone marrow transplant, he faces years of treatment ahead. A huge football fan, McLean's simple wish was to play football in a real football stadium with real football players. He wanted to yell, "Hike, hike, hike," and throw the ball to a real football player. But he had one rule for us. It had to be for a red team. Now, you just saw how McLean's day unfolded. He spent over an hour running plays on the field at the LA Coliseum, tackling and, of course, yelling, "Hike, hike, hike," before the game. He toured the press box. He conducted the Trojan marching band and the school's fight song at halftime. And yes, he met the song girls. Now, I knew, as his wish was being planned, how it might change this little football fan's life. But I wasn't prepared for the ripple effect. You see, I spent that day with McLean's parents. They told me that it's rare that McLean leaves his dad's side most of the time. He's shy and a little tentative. He's about half the size of kids his own age. But that day, Dad was challenged to keep up with McLean as he ran around chasing his new teammates. I realized then that the wish didn't just give McLean hope, strength, and joy. It gave the same to his parents. And now, as we continue to tell stories about that day, I've noticed something even more amazing. It wasn't even just the family that received a wish that day. It was the players and the coaches on the team. It was the volunteers who helped put it together. It was the band and the song girls. And it was the crowd in the stadium, thousands of us in just that one afternoon. McLean's wish left us all filled with hope, strength, and joy. And that's the power of Make-A-Wish. This year, our chapter will grant 335 wishes like McLean's for kids from Orange County and the Inland Empire. That's one every 26 hours. We will also assist with over 400 wishes for kids who visit us from all over the world to see sites like Disneyland or meet their favorite celebrity. Unfortunately, according to the Center for Disease Control, we are currently reaching only about half of the eligible kids in our area. But thanks to your support here tonight, you'll help us reach our goal to make sure that every kid facing a life-threatening medical condition will have the opportunity to live out their one truest wish and make memories just like McLean's. On behalf of everyone at Make-A-Wish, our staff, our volunteers, our board of directors, and most importantly, our wish kids, I thank each and every one of you here tonight, and especially our incredible friends at the Norris Group for your support. With friends like you, we can help turn life-threatening illnesses into life-affirming triumphs. Thank you again.
Next, I would like to introduce Lainey Strauss with St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Braden, if I could describe him in one word, would be a handful. Basically, whatever he doesn't have at the moment, he wants, but as soon as he has it, he doesn't want it anymore. He's so playful and so goofy at some point, but if he doesn't get what he wants, he has a little attitude. But I guess if I went through what he's gone through, I'd have an attitude too, huh? On our mind. It wasn't even a possibility. That's not what we were thinking of. He could be blind, you know, and that's why he couldn't focus on anything. When we got up here, they considered him blind. And now we've got to the day where we can work with lights on, and he can pick a penny off the ground, and if you drop a Cheerio, he's going to go over there and try to eat it. It was amazing. I mean, it wasn't something that I thought was going to happen. It's still a possibility until he's five that we could lose both eyes. I mean, we still struggle with that right now. But I think whether he has his eyes or not, that he will make the best of his life.
You do it by yourself. You do it by yourself.
He is obviously so active and so engaged with his environment and so curious. And we just want to foster that. We just want to encourage that. This is a child and this is a family. This is a life.
Good job.
And there's more to life than this disease.
Here we go.
St. Jude's is the best place possible. They save lives. And one day, they will find the cure for cancer. But that day isn't today. There's still a work in progress. And as long as cancer's here, you know, we need people researching and finding new ways to help our children.
Those get me. No matter how many times I see those videos and meet the patients and see the families, I am always moved, and it always makes me cry. I just want to thank every single person in this room tonight because you are making our work possible. Every individual donation that comes to us is used to help children like Braden. It takes $1.8 million a day to run the hospital. And that is just that hospital. We do coordinate our work with all the local hospitals. Many of our children are too ill to travel. And so we will create protocols specifically for each child. So that involves something that some of you may have heard of called the Genome Project. It's something that we can actually create care individually for each patient. They create their own medications on site because many of these medications are not available through normal pharmaceutical companies. They don't create them because they're too expensive. And we create medications that children can take. They cannot take the same medications that adults take. We cover flights for the patients to come to St. Jude if they need to come to the hospital in Memphis. We cover groceries for the family so that they can eat together as a family. We don't just treat the illness. We treat the patient. We treat the family. And we care for them as a whole. As you can imagine, the type of things that happen to a family when one of their children is ill is just unimaginable. The suffering and the pain that happens to the parents, to the other children, to the relatives, and what it does to those families is something I hope you never have to experience. So what St. Jude does is to try to make the experience as positive as possible to take away the fear. The patients don't have to pay $1 for their treatment. All of the money that we raise goes to pay for those treatments so that the patients don't ever have to worry about the bills. They don't have to worry about going bankrupt over their care. Acute leukemia is the most common form of childhood cancer, and 50 years ago it was 4% rate of survival. Today is 94%. So it used to be a death sentence to get cancer as a child or sickle cell. They have developed treatments now for sickle cell, and we're proud to say we can now cure it with bone marrow transplants. We are currently working on the first proton beam in the world that can target cancer cells without killing the surrounding cells. This will now give us the ability to kill brain tumors that were previously inoperable. Another yay. And this is all from the donations from people like you. So hopefully we never have to go through this personally. We never have to lose our mothers, our fathers, and we never have to see any more of these beautiful children suffering with these life-threatening illnesses. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you from all the children of St. Jude. And thank you to the Norris Group.
On behalf of both of us at Make-A-Wish and St. Jude, we're really proud to present this plaque to the Norris Group and to I Survived Real Estate, commemorating a child's wish that they have adopted, a girl from Riverside who recently wished to have a fancy dinner. And she I thought it was perfectly appropriate for tonight. So thank you so much on behalf of both of us.
She should have come. I would like to introduce the host for the evening. He is an active investor, a hard money lender, and a real estate educator with over 30 years of experience and over 2,000 transactions under his belt. He's best known for California real estate market timing, and I get to call him Pops. Bruce Norris.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Because of time, I guess we'll just leave all the thank yous. I just want to thank Marcia for helping me raise one heck of a family. I read in today's paper, and it's important because I think sometimes policies reflect the things that we fear. And so this was an article, and it just very briefly, the latest numbers in the housing market have not convinced economist Gary Schilling, a longtime housing bear, to change his cold forecast. Schilling still holds his prediction that home prices will fall 20% more and dismisses talk that the market has bottomed. Well, I beg to differ. And you know, for me, it really comes from practical market observance. Greg, my son, is in charge of buying. You know, he's outdone his father by an awfully large margin, and so we're usually dealing with something like 50 properties at a time. And it gives you a pretty good feel of what's going on in the market. And then all of a sudden, we started noticing progressively more and more offers and quicker marketing time. And none of the charts that I normally follow would have told me that we were going to start to have price increases yet. And then when it started happening in reality, I started thinking, okay, well, what is going on that's different this time? And so tonight I'm going to share some charts with you because some of the decisions that are being made, such as let's bulk sale REOs because apparently the market won't absorb them, or let's consider eminent domain because things are so bad that we have to solve it in that way. I hope what I share with you tonight allows you to know that that's certainly not necessary. By the way, this audience and for the speakers, this is a very special group of friends and fellow investors who would love the chance to get financing or buy some properties and clean them up and make them rentals. So this is for them. Okay, I think I got this thing. That's good. Our basic business model is we take this house and we turn it into that house. This is a real example. This home was worth $356,000 at the top of the market. Unfortunately, we bought it for a little less than that, $64,000. And we put 35 in it, and we kept it as a rental. But the problem for California real estate is across the street, somebody owes $356,000 on that house. And everything you've seen over the last 4 or 5 years has been an attempt to solve that problem. And we'll talk about the both ways that we can solve the problem, dealing with getting prices to escalate and or having the debt forgiven. I began to notice some strange things going on. A lot of you guys have already seen this chart, but this is a progression in brown of delinquencies. And the delinquencies progressed, but the foreclosures did not. And usually there's a correlation, you would think. And that correlation got broken at about halfway through 2008. Had it been followed normally, we would end up having a very different peak of the foreclosures. Instead of 0.8%, we would end up with 3.5% of the market. In other words, whatever was in the MLS would be multiple of at least 4. And that's going to be really scary when you see the next few charts that you haven't seen. This is the unsold index in San Bernardino. And what happened was everybody tried to sell after the prices started to falter. And then when they couldn't sell, foreclosures went up just a little bit, and that's this chart. Now, that chart was a reaction to what they did foreclose on, but it could have been 4 times as high if they had foreclosed on everybody that was delinquent. So you can imagine what would have happened to prices. It was bad enough as it is. So since 2008, when it peaked, it's gradually gone down. And as I tried to figure out what was going on, one of the things that I concentrate on, and I'll show you specifically, was the aggressive stance that we had in foreclosing on people actually has turned out to be a big asset in 2012 and will be in 13 and 14. But I hadn't figured that out until I started getting much more demand for my product than I thought was possible. Our median price in California went down to $245 and came down from $594. It's now at $343. So we are considerably off the bottom. And why that's significant, look at our price history. 2000, we were about 240 or so. When you start mimicking a year in the past, you also can match it with debt that was owed on the property values at the time. And that's significant. So let's take a look at a chart of debt. And if you start looking at 2000 on the bottom and you go straight up, you'll see that our real estate, when it was only worth, say, $245, we owed $11 trillion on it. And at the time in 2000, what did we owe? Five? That's a bit of a problem. You have a lot of debt you don't know what to do with, but can you forgive it all? No, I don't think the system would have done too well.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate, Adrenaline Athletics, California Property Solvers, Coldwell Banker Pioneer Real Estate, Elite Auctions, For Investors by Investors, In a Day Development, Inland Empire Investors Forum, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Investor Experts Incorporated, Keller Williams of Corona, Keystone CPA, Las Brisas Escrow, Lievis Associates, Mike Cantu, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, Northern San Diego Real Estate Investors Association, Personal Real Estate Magazine, Pilot Limo, Realty 411 Magazine, Real Wealth Network, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Southwest Riverside County Association of Realtors, John Reisinger Photography, Sonoka Corporation, Spinnaker Loans, UDirect IRA, Wilson Investment Properties, Tony Alvarez, Weston South Coast Plaza, and Winning in Tough Times LLC. See iSurvivedRealEstate.com for the video from the live event.